Well, there once was a young monk who had just joined a monastery, and he went into the monastery. He was getting the newbie tour. They were showing him around where all the different rooms were, and as he walked by one room, he noticed that there were a group of monks crouched over desks making copies of ancient documents. But what he saw kind of troubled him, because he noticed that they were making copies of what was obviously another copy, and he was concerned, because if somebody had made an error in that copy, then it would just get passed on and on and on for generations, kind of like the telephone game. And so he brought his concern to the head monk, and the head monk said, "Well, my son, we've been doing this for centuries, making copies of copies, but you raise a good point, so I'll go investigate." And the head monk took a copy of these ancient documents. He went down to the cellars to check it against the originals. And he was down there for a long time, like hours and hours and hours, to the point that the other monks became worried that something had happened to him. So they sent this new initiate, this young monk, down to check on him. And when the new monk got downstairs, he saw his new master, this old monk, sobbing over this original text with this copy in his hand. And the young monk approached the old monk with trepidation. He said, "Master, what's wrong?" And the old monk said, "The word is celebrate. Not celibate, celebrate. One word can make a ton of difference in people's lives. Every year, we speak a lot of words. If you were to take all of the words that the average person speaks in a given year and put it into print, 12-point font, single space, one day's worth of words would look something like this, about 70 or so pages. That means that a week's worth of words would look something like this. A month would look something similar to this, and one year's worth of pages, or sorry, words rather, if you wrote them down, would look like this, somewhere in the neighborhood of 26,400 pages, give or take. That's a lot of words that every single one of us speak in any given year, and every single one of those words on any one of these pages has the potential to impact somebody's life. Words matter. And we spend these words sometimes without thinking about them. You know, we talk on the phone, or we chit-chat with somebody in line at the store. Maybe we spend these words in prayer. Or maybe we spend these words arguing. Maybe we spend them yelling at the person on the highway that cut us off. Maybe we've got some road rage issues. We use these words sometimes without thinking about them, but our words matter. We're starting a new series this week. It's called Wisdom. We all make dumb decisions in life. We're human. Let's admit it. It happens. You probably made a dumb decision this morning. I know I did. I drank too much coffee. I got the jitters. It was a bad decision. We all do dumb things. And sometimes those dumb decisions, they're kind of funny. Other times, though, they can have some pretty serious consequences. Life is hard enough without us throwing fuel on the fire through dumb decisions. And that's why God would very much like to help us avoid the avoidable frustrations of life. And for that reason, he gave us the book of Proverbs, a book of practical wisdom for everyday life, to help us avoid the dumb decisions we are prone to make. And so we're going to be spending the next several weeks looking in the book of Proverbs, trying to figure out how to avoid some of the most common dumb decisions and some of the most common parts of our lives that we all deal with and struggle with and sometimes don't know what to do with. And today we're talking about our words. Anybody ever had a bad case of foot and mouth disease? Yeah, me too. Sometimes we use our words in not so intelligent ways. But Proverbs has a lot to say about the way we use our words. This morning, I want to ask that you join me in the book of Proverbs, chapter 12. If you got your Bibles, open them up to Proverbs, chapter 12. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. You can follow along on the screen behind, or you can download the YouVersion Bible app on your mobile device. Follow along there. In any event, Proverbs 12 is where we're going to be. And I want to start off this morning by picking a few proverbs that highlight how much power our words have. Sometimes we forget that, and we need to be reminded that our words have tremendous power. Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 14. It goes like this. From the fruit of their lips. Let's just pause there. Fruit of their lips. What are we talking about there? We're talking about our words, the things that our lips produce. From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. This proverb is trying to teach us that our words have power to influence our own lives. We can benefit ourselves positively through our words. How many of you went out and you got a job because you were just bored and you needed something to do? Anybody? No. You probably got a job because you wanted a paycheck, right? If you're a farmer, you don't go out and plow that field and plant that seed just because you need something to do for a season. And if you work in an office, you don't go punch the clock and type on a keyboard and deal with customers because it's good for your health. You want a paycheck. You want your labors to produce some sort of monetary gain, something good in your life. And your labor is guaranteed some sort of return. And what our proverb is trying to say here is just as certain as your labor is going to produce some sort of return, your words are going to produce something too. And if you use your words well, they can produce something good. They can fill up our lives with good stuff. Now, the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, it wasn't originally written in English. It was written in an ancient Hebrew. And the word that we translate there as fill up, it's a fun word. It oftentimes is used to talk about hunger and the appetites that people have. You ever been so hungry that you just felt empty inside? Maybe you even got a little hangry, because when you're hungry, you're maybe not the most patient or kind person. I can relate with you there. My wife carries granola bars in her purse for that reason. It's not for our son. It's for her grown husband. Sometimes we get hangry. We're empty. But when you eat a big meal, that kind of stick to your ribs kind of food, all of a sudden that emptiness is gone, right? You feel much better. You've been filled. That's what this word is talking about. And it's saying that our words have the potential to fill us with some good stuff. Now, what kind of good things are we talking about here? That's the thing with Proverbs, is sometimes it's a little vague because it wants us to meditate and wants us to reflect on what's being said. But if we reflect just a little bit, it's not too hard to see what kind of good things Proverbs has in mind. We talked about our jobs just a little bit ago. How many of you out there, you don't have to raise your hands, but just think to yourself, how many of you got a job in part because you knew somebody? I know in my own work history, every job I've ever gotten, save for one, I've gotten in some part because I knew somebody, either the person that was doing the hiring, or somebody that worked there and put in a good word, or even just somebody that was aware of a job opening and told me about it. People play a big part in helping us get jobs sometimes, and we need those jobs to put food on our table and pay our bills, right? They're good. Well, how do you think you built that relationship with that person that helped you get a job? You probably use your words. You probably use kind words, friendly words. Maybe you used funny words. Where our words play a big role in helping us build the relationships that fill our lives with good things. Think about romance for a minute. Right now, if you're in a loving, romantic relationship, your life is filled with good things. And even if you're not in a relationship right now, you probably were in one at some point before it turned sour. It probably started off pretty good, right? Very few of us will get into a relationship knowing that this is a bad idea and this isn't going to be fun. We get into relationships because they fill our lives with good things. And how do you build those romantic relationships with another person? You use your words. Loving words, kind words, patient words, supportive words. You probably didn't say to somebody, hey, you dumb jerk, you're kind of ugly, but we're going to start dating. Don't screw it up. Those are not the kind of words that fill your life with good things. But the fruit of our lips, what we produce with our mouth, they have the ability, they have the power to fill our lives with this good stuff, with these relationships. Likewise, if we use our words poorly, if we make dumb decisions with our words, we have the ability to exclude people from our lives, to push them away, to drain our lives of good things. Our words have tremendous power over our own well-being and the quality of our lives. But our words don't just impact us. Our words also have power over other people's lives as well. Tremendous power. Skip just a couple of verses down to chapter 12, verse 18. Look at what it says. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I had a buddy in high school that collected swords. He was a missionary kid. He was in Africa. His favorite sword was this Japanese katana forged by an African smith out of Spanish steel. I heard that story a lot. He was very proud of the sword. And there was one day his parents were off. They were uptown doing shopping or something, and he was at home by himself. So he went into the basement, and he got his favorite sword out, and he started whipping it through the air and slashing, doing his ninja thing. Keep in mind, he is 18 years old at this point, which kind of makes that story a little funnier. But he's doing his thing with his sword. And when he's done, he goes to sheathe it. But he missed. And he put the blade right in his thigh. And it pierced all the way to the bone. And blood just starts spurting out all over the place. Keep in mind, he's home by himself. He can't walk on it, obviously. So he hobbles over to the stairs and starts to crawl up. And then he passes out from blood loss. And luckily, his sister came home like 30 seconds later, found him, got to the emergency room. He's fine. But I tell you that story so that when you hear this proverb say that reckless words, the words of the reckless, pierce like swords, you have a visual. And you understand that words pierce deep into the bone. And that the damage they do is very real. Words hurt. We teach our kids this nursery rhyme that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will what? Never hurt me. Can you believe that we lie to our kids like that? Seriously, words hurt. They pierce like swords. They do damage. And this proverb is not written just to children either. It's written to adults because words never stop doing damage. They always leave scars. I was on a work trip in high school one time. We went to a children's ranch. Our project for the week was to take down a barbed wire fence and put up a new one. So we took all the old stuff down. We got the top strand run across the posts. I had to get to the other side, so I ducked under. I misjudged, stood up, and I caught a barb in my shoulder, and I have a scar where I was pierced. My buddy with the sword, he has a gnarly scar in his thigh where he was pierced. And everybody who has been pierced by reckless words carries scars as well. They don't go away. And this isn't just a proverb written to mean people who say mean things for the sake of being mean, though those people exist. This is written to everybody because the key word here is reckless. The words of the reckless. What is recklessness? It's not taking the time to think about what you're saying, about how it's going to be heard, about how it's going to impact the other person, about what kind of effect it's going to have. Anybody can be reckless. You've been in a heated argument with your spouse, with your kids? You ever say something you didn't mean? Or maybe it came out a lot more harshly than you intended? You can apologize. You can say, I didn't mean it. They can forgive you. But it's still going to pierce. It's still going to leave a scar because you can't unsay those words. They can't be unheard. The words of the reckless pierce like swords. Words do damage. But luckily, the opposite is also true. The other part of that proverb says, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Our words can be a weapon, but our words can also bind up wounds. Kind words, encouraging words, comforting words, gracious, compassionate words. These can be salve on a burn. These can be a bandage for a wound. We can be a positive force and influence in other people's lives through the power of our words. This is a very powerful tool that God has entrusted to us. Power in our own lives, but certainly power in the lives of others as well. We cannot afford to be dumb in how we use our words. We have to use them wisely. But our words aren't just powerful. We're reminded in Proverbs that our words are worth something too. They're valuable. And they're precious. Our words are tremendously valuable. Why don't you flip over with me to Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 19. And this is kind of a cluster of Proverbs that function together as a unit that we're going to read. We'll break it down after we get through it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. It goes like this. Sin is not ended by multiplying words. Now let's pause there for a minute. That's kind of an odd translation of this verse. If you have literally any other version of the Bible, it probably reads a little differently. I'm not sure why this translation is the way that it is in the NIV, but probably just the gist of the verse is where words are many, sin is not far behind. That's kind of the thrust of this verse here. So, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. Now, like I said, these proverbs kind of function together as a unit. They progress and they build off of one another. And it starts off with this implication that where words are many, sin's not far behind. Multiplying words doesn't deal away with sin. Meaning that if you talk a lot, and that's probably not fair, if your lips are loose, is what it's saying, sin is not very far behind. There are some people that are just chatty, right? You've probably met them in the elevator, at the waiting room someplace. They just like to talk. They're extroverted people. That's fine. That's a personality type. That's not what this proverb is talking about. Instead, this is talking about a character flaw. Somebody who is loose-lipped, who talks more than they ought to. And there are a couple of proverbs a little later on. You don't have to turn there. You can just listen. They clarify kind of what's in mind here. And when we talk about somebody who is of many words, Proverbs 20, verse 19 says, "A gossip betrays confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much." Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2, it says, "A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions." This is talking about the person who can't keep a secret, who talks and talks and talks, and inevitably ends up talking about somebody else, about their business, about did you hear about so-and-so who did this thing with that person in that place? Oh, you didn't? Let me fill you in on all the details. Or that person who always has an opinion on an issue and is convinced everybody else wants to hear it. Oftentimes, it's not the most informed opinion. It's not a researched opinion. It may not even be a valid opinion, but it's one that he is going to share and air with people. Have you met someone like this? These are the people that talk too much, who use many words. And we got to be careful when we hear them because sin is not far behind. Where words are many, sin is multiplied. But the other half of that proverb is also true. What we read is that the prudent hold their tongues. And the word that's translated there is hold. Remember, we're talking about Hebrew. It comes from this word. It's a really neat picture. It talks about the way that shepherds would put a piece of wood in a goat's mouth to keep it from sucking. You know, so you got this picture of this goat whose lips are just kind of, but you have this piece of wood that, all of a sudden it's done. That's the picture here, is you have this loose-lipped person who talks too much, whose lips just never stop moving, but the wise person, they've disciplined their tongue. They've learned that words are not always necessary. Sometimes it's best not to speak because our words are valuable. In fact, we read in the very next verse, in verse 20, that the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. Been to a jewelry store? It's not as expensive as gold, but you know how much choice silver costs, right? It's not cheap. Words are valuable, and the words of the wise are valuable as well. However, the heart of the wicked is of little value. Words are kind of like a checkbook. You know, the foolish person, they spend their words frivolously. They're just writing check after check after check after check. They got checks all over town. Problem is, they don't have any money in the bank to back those checks. They're worthless. But the wise person, they only write a check when they've got money in the bank, when they know they can cover it. And so it is with words as well. The foolish person, they've got words all over the place. They've got an opinion on everything. They're going to talk whenever they get the chance. Their words are many, but their words are not very valuable. But the words of the wise, those words are worth something. Those words are backed by wisdom. Those words are backed by meditation. Those words are worth listening to, even though they're few, because they are choice silver. It's a matter of quality over quantity. More is not always better. Even though the wise person may talk only a little bit, when they do, listen. Because you can take it to the bank. What they're saying has been thought about. It is worth something. And because the tongue of the wise is choice silver, we find verse 21 that the lips of the righteous, and righteousness and wisdom, the book of Proverbs, they go hand in hand. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. The lips of the righteous nourish many. Previously, we heard that from the fruit of his lips, a man is filled up. Remember that picture of food being filled up. So wise words, they benefit the individual, but here we read they nourish many. The words of the wise, they're good for everybody. They've got sense for everybody. They've got understanding for everybody. They've got comfort for everybody. When you listen to the words of a wise person, you can benefit. But fools die for lack of judgment. And say that they die is probably artistic license there, but certainly you're going to find yourself in trouble if you spend your words frivolously and foolishly. Because eventually people are going to learn that we can't be trusted. They're going to learn that our word isn't worth much, that we can't keep a secret, that we're going to be spreading other people's business all over the place through gossip and slander. When we spend our words frivolously, remember, where words are many, sin's not far behind. The words of a wise person are valuable. The words of a fool, not so much. And there's a couple of applications there that we can apply to ourselves in our own lives. First is the immediate application to ourselves. We need to discipline our tongues and make sure that when we speak, it's worth something. That we're not using many words and falling into sin through gossip, through slander, through whatever. The other application is maybe even more apt for today's society. We need to be careful who we're listening to, because not everybody's words are valuable or worth something. We live in a culture and in a day and age where people are very quick to spend their words. You know, you can spend them on Facebook in an argument. You can spend them raging at somebody on Twitter. You can spend them on the phone. You can spend them texting somebody without ever having to actually look at them in the face. We listen to 24-hour news cycles. If you read internet blogs, there's a pressure to publish constantly because you need to be on top of the latest breaking news. There's a lot of words flowing out all the time. And because there are many words, some of them are not worth listening to. Case in point, this issue on our border down in Mexico. You heard about this, families being separated. I am wise enough to admit that I don't know much about things. And so I wanted to find out the truth about this issue. So I started doing some reading online, and I started to, what laws are involved? What's the issue here? What's really happening? And my research, my study, it eventually brought me to Reddit. It's a series of message boards where people can have conversations. And I found one conversation about this issue. It was about 500 different comments. So I read through them all. It took me about 40 minutes to read all the comments and weigh them to see what was going on. And what I concluded when I was done was that I had wasted 40 minutes of my life. Because there were a lot of opinions that were being presented as facts. And a lot of emotion being presented as evidence. And there was a lot of confusion as to what really was the legal issue here. And what I found out was that people on both sides really didn't know what they were talking about exactly. There were a lot of words, but not a lot of wisdom. We need to be careful who we listen to in this day and age, because not everybody knows what they're talking about. Words are not always valuable when they come from the lips of a fool. But we want our words to be worth something. We don't want to be dumb with our words, so let's be careful how we spend them. Realize that our words are valuable. Now, we've had a lot of practical advice this morning, but the truth is you can pick up a lot of different books and get practical advice on speaking and how to talk to people. The perspective of Proverbs is what makes the difference here between the scripture and other books. Because when Proverbs talks about words, it understands this isn't just a matter of practicality, it is a matter of spirituality. Our words are a spiritual matter. And this is impressed upon us probably no more clearly than in the words of Jesus. If we want to flip to the New Testament, to Luke chapter 6 this morning. Luke 6, verse 45, what we see is that our words are a spiritual matter. Listen to what he says. He says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Older translations say, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. I know we've all done this before, but I'm going to go ahead and ask the question. How many of you have had a glass that you're pouring a soda into, and you want to get the whole can of soda pop in there, and so you pour, and you try to get it as close to the lip of the glass as you can, and you get it. You get the whole can of soda in there, but you didn't account for the carbonation. And so it just starts to rise, and you watch helplessly because there's nothing you could do. You can try to drink it off the top, but it's probably going to overflow all over the counter, right? We've all been there. And what Jesus is saying is that our hearts are like that glass, and we are always filling it with something, with desires, with perspectives, with information. Just anyway, we can't stop, by the way. Just by virtue of being alive, we are filling our hearts with things continually to the point that it overflows. But when it overflows, it doesn't get on the countertop. It comes out of our mouths, and it gets all over the people that we're speaking to. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what that means is that what comes out of here is a really good indication of what's happening in here. These 26,400 pages are a 26,000-page description of who you really are. I can say all day long that I'm a good person. I can say that I'm an innocent person. I can say that I'm a worthy, that I'm a just, that I'm a righteous person. But if what comes out of my mouth is not good and righteous and worthwhile, what does that say about what's really happening in here? Likewise, I can say that I'm a truthful person, that I value and I stand on the truth. But if lies come out of my mouth, what's really happening in here? Deception has made its home in my heart. After all, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But the opposite is also true. If what comes out of my mouth is uplifting, if what comes out of my mouth is meant to heal and to fill up others, if what comes out of my mouth is encouraging, if it is patient, it is kind, it is loving, that's a good indication of what's going on in here too, because after all, that same profound truth applies. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Probably a fantastic example of this comes from the life of Jesus himself. In Luke, do you remember the scene where Jesus is nailed to the cross and he's looking out over the crowds as he dies, and with some of his final breaths, he says, "Father, I hope they all get what they deserve." Do you remember that part? Of course you don't, because that's not what he said. That's not what was in his heart that day. What he said was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In his heart was not judgment. In his heart was not frustration and anger and angst. In his heart was this desire that sinful people, you and me, that we would be forgiven. His heart was filled with love. His heart was filled with compassion. His heart was filled with mercy for you and me. And we can see that in his words. And we know that's what was truly in his heart because that's what led him to the cross. He made that sacrifice so that you and I could have forgiveness, so that we could have eternal life, so that we could find salvation. Out of the overflow, the love in his heart, he spoke. And this morning, if you haven't accepted that love, if you haven't accepted that truth and that gift that he offers to you through the cross, don't wait another day. There's a connection card on the back of your seat. Take that out. At the very top, the first thing you'll see is this little bubble that says, "Choose Christ." And we put it at the top because that's the most important step you could take in your walk with him, is to choose him. If that's you this morning, why don't you indicate on that bubble? You can fill it in, put an X through it. Put your name and your number on the card. We want to get in touch with you. We want to talk to you about baptism. And we want to talk to you about what it means to choose Christ and to walk with him and to be saved through this love. For the rest of us, if we have accepted that gift and we have accepted that love and our hearts have been changed, then it ought to be evidenced by what comes out of our mouths. Because after all, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we've been changed by his love and his grace and his compassion, then our words ought to reflect that. And we ought to evidence it by love, by joy, by peace, by patience, by kindness coming out of our mouths. That's the evidence of a changed heart, is what comes out of our mouths. Our words are powerful things, guys. And it's so easy to get in trouble with them. It's so easy to get angry and to use our words as weapons, when in all the while they could bind up wounds and heal. It's so easy to get frustrated and use our words to lash out at people when they have the potential to fill them up and to bless them. God has entrusted us with this powerful tool called the tongue. It's capable of incredible good and incredible wickedness. And we have to be wise enough to choose, will we be the afflicter or the physician? We have to be wise with our words. Let's not make dumb decisions with the tool that God has given us. Let's choose wisdom. Let's choose to use our words wisely. Let's pray. Father, our words are powerful things. And you have given us and entrusted us with the responsibility to use our words well. And so I pray that we would. I pray that with our words, we would worship you. That with our words, we would honor you. That with our words, we would build others up. That we would speak of love. That we would show grace. I pray that we would reflect you in how we speak and what we speak about. I pray that you give us wisdom to know when to speak and when to remain silent. I pray that you give us insight to use our words to heal, when we might suspect there might be a wound, to encourage when we suspect that people might be down and out. But most of all, Father, I pray that we use our tongue to tell other people the story of Jesus, about the good news of love and salvation that comes through him. Father, let our words be tools and instruments in your hands. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.